Hello, and thank you for listening. This message was recorded live at Church at the Well. We meet at 119 Bellagio Circle in Sanford, Florida, at the corner of St. John Parkway and Upsala. For more information, please visit our website at www.jesusstuff.org. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Ooh-wee. There's a little soul there in that song. You know that? That's a beautiful song. Oh, my goodness. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on in this morning. Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? Yeah? Woo! Well, you know, it's that time of year. That's that season. Please, if you would, look to your left and right. And if there's somebody that is not here today, that you know you have a relationship with, or somebody maybe you don't know, if you have their number, you have their email, reach out to them. Say, hey, we missed you. We love you. We're thinking about you. You know, no condemnation, but we just want you to know that we missed you on a Sunday morning. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon, because we're a family. And, you know, families, a lot of times, you know, not everybody can always show up at every event, but I encourage everyone at least make time to be here on a Sunday morning, because that's important. And so we're grateful for that, and we're honored in your presence here with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn real quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week, there was something that was imparted into Pastor Rob and Robert, and really it stirred my spirit. And I know for today, and probably I don't know how long, but we're going to start a series today talking about the Spirit of God and the power, the anointing, number one. But number two, who is the Spirit of God? Who is this Holy Spirit? What's up there, guys? Joseph, Nydia, Silas, hey! Visiting from Texas? Amen. Come on now. Well, bless you guys. We welcome you guys here. Well, we consider this home for y'all, so I'm just throwing that out there. But, you know, I know Texas is Texas, but this is home. Amen. So, but we're going to be starting this new series called Talking About the Spirit of God. And it's vital for us. I was in preparation for this. I was asking God, I said, how do I start this? You know, where do we go with this? Because today may be more of a teaching, more of a than preaching today, because the truth of the matter is, in order to receive or to really be empowered, you got to kind of understand who or what the Spirit of God is. True? I mean, there's no way you can sit here and say, I want to be able to build a building without knowing physics, you know, as an engineer or something to that effect. You got to kind of know what you're dealing with, what your things are. So I want us to be able to get a really good understanding of who Holy Spirit is. Now, with that being said, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whatever terms you want to use to describe him. There's sometimes in churches and denomination or religion, whatever word you want to use, there is, can I say the word controversy sometimes? Right. There's some disagreements. There is, denominations have been separated because of their position on who and what Holy Spirit can do. You know, is that true? I mean, you think about it. I mean, there's those denominations, you can pray in the Spirit, you can speak in tongues, and there are those denominations, that doesn't happen today. That is not something that goes on. That was good back in the book of Acts, but it's not good today, not in 2017. So there's different opinions, and to the point where people can get very passionate about these things. And so today, I'm going to share what Holy Spirit imparted into me. The revelation I have received. I'm going to share those things. But most importantly, it's not just those things, but anything and everything that I share today, you go back to Scripture. Amen. That's the Word of God. Okay? Anything I say that goes contrary to that, then you need to let me know. But I can tell you today, my words are going to be based upon the Word of God. And based on that, and this is a big thing. Holy Spirit's never going to give you something that's going to be contrary, thank you, to His Word. Never. And because it's a living Word, it's a perfect Word, it is the Word for you. And so I want us to be very clear and understand that today. How many in here have or has the authority or the ability to speak in tongues? There's no judgment or anything like that. Okay? How many understand speaking in tongues, what that is? Okay? How many disagree with speaking in tongues? Anyone? Okay. And the reason I ask those questions is because I want to get a sense from the sheep where you are and what you understand. Because see, out of all the things that Scripture talks about, especially when it comes to the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, the biggest divisive point is speaking in tongues. The gifts of the Spirit, every church, every denomination, we all, oh, hallelujah, praise God. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, and all, oh, yes, hallelujah. All these things, the church, the whole church of the world, you know, the bride of Christ, will agree on those things because those are straightforward and simple and what have you. But when you start talking about being able to speak or pray in a heavenly language, a lot of times that's where people will draw the line. People will say that's kooky. They say that's you're making that up. People, scholars, I mean, when I was sitting here, there's so many scholars out there that's done all this research saying it's not of today, and they point out Scripture where it is, you know, to support their opinion. But again, then there are those that will point out Scripture to support it is a word for today. It is something that we have. And so as we go through this, I want you to understand that there may be some things that Holy Spirit may touch on your heart, may point at in your heart, that He may take you to Scripture. He may do something that may make you have to get to a place of making a decision or make you have to do a little bit of work on your own to kind of understand a little bit better and really get to a place of having a revelation of what God wants for you. Amen? Amen. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. Amen. So, who is Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, we have to understand Holy Spirit represents the Spirit of God. Do we all understand that? Okay? And can we all agree that the Spirit of God is part of what we call in theology, part of the Trinity? Everyone has heard of that, correct? The Trinity. So what is the Trinity? That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Father is God, and then His Son Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. So that is your three part. Now there are those that believe in a theology of what they call oneness. Anyone has ever heard of that? Yeah? They believe that there is not a Trinity in a sense, but there's one God. And when He came in the Old Testament, it was the Father. And then when Christ came, then He took the form of Jesus. And then when Jesus left, He came back as the Holy Spirit. There wasn't three separate entities, but there was just one that took on different positions or roles. Does that make sense? I'm saying that in a very quick nutshell of what that is. And that's the difference. And again, how divisive we as church, as people, can get over. Because let me tell you this. Does it matter if it's Trinity or oneness? What matters is there is a Jesus, there is a God, and there's a Holy Spirit. Amen. And through Jesus, I have been redeemed through accepting Him as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And you know, I mean, and they're all God. So, anyway. But that's the principle of it. So, in Genesis 1:26, I know I told you to go to 2 Corinthians, but I just want to read this real quick. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So, when He said our, He didn't say my. He said our. So, He is pointing to individuals as a group. So, my understanding would be there is more than one. Can we all agree on that? So already in the very beginning, he has identified there is more than just him. I believe. And then you read in John and you read throughout the Bible, it talks about Christ being there in the beginning, you know, and all these other things. So understanding that. So he was there in the beginning. The Spirit of God was there in the beginning. So that is our. So that represents that Holy Spirit is God. He is not a mystic thing. He's not something that's made up. He is not a kooky concept. He's not a spiritual witchcraft thing. He's none of those things. He is God. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Okay? You guys following me so far? If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says here, and I love this because Paul says something that I thought was very powerful. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. Amen. Paul identifies there's three aspects to God. God, Christ, and Holy Spirit. He identifies those three things very specifically. If you go throughout the New Testament, this right here, this verse here identifies that. So my point is this. Number one, who is Holy Spirit? He is God. He is the Spirit of God. He takes on the very nature of God. I don't have the time to go through all the characteristics and nature of who he is, because many people, many scholars, many theologians will point to these are his things, and because of this characteristics and his nature makes him God and all these other things. I'm not going to go through all that. But just in reading those two things, I believe and I hope it impresses on you. Holy Spirit is God. Okay? Well, we're all in agreement with this? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Like I said, it's a little bit more teaching today. So just walk with me. Now turn over to Joel. Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. Man, Joseph, it's good to see you, man. You've gotten big, Dylas, man. Oh, my gosh. How old are you now? Like 22 or something? 14? Okay. All right. My bad. Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. God is saying through the prophet Joel that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Okay? So this is a prophecy of when Holy Spirit comes later in the New Testament. This is a prophecy of him pouring himself out to us. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 13. Now, I walked us through as a church that we all agree Holy Spirit is God. The second thing is, and it starts here in Joel, that Holy Spirit is an active participant in salvation and in the lives of the people that he indwells. Can I get an amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? That, okay, so you have God. Holy Spirit is God. And now I'm about to give you some things that, as it says here in Joel, he's going to pour his Spirit out. So he's going to give his Spirit to mankind. And in doing so, I want us to get to a point. The number two point is this. He is active in our lives. He is active in our lives. And it starts here. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Can we say sealed? Can we say sealed? Can we say guaranteed? He is an active participant. He has sealed your salvation. You know how, you get a seal on, like, corporate papers, you get a seal on something, it makes it official. So guess what? Holy Spirit is making it official with God. Christ came. This young man, this young woman accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I put my seal on him to say, I verify, I guarantee that this young man, this young woman is your son or your daughter. Hallelujah. That is the Holy Spirit. He come to seal in your life who you are. He stands there and he has sealed it in you for not just today, not just tomorrow, but for eternity, for eternity. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Oh, I love this one. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Let me tell you something right here. If indeed the Spirit of God, see, he's using this. When you read this, he compares and he uses the synonym of God and Christ together in the same verse. And by through saying, if indeed, he's asking a question, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He's identifying that when you are sealed, see, when, Holy Spirit's not going to come and seal you unless you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you guys understand that today? He is not going to be active in your life. See, sometimes people say, I don't hear God. You talk about you hear God. You see things. You hear things. You notice these things. And can I dare say this? And I'm not one to judge, but did you really receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because sometimes people will say certain things not knowing, or they may have thought they had an experience. Come on, Joseph. And they thought that something happened when maybe they didn't. I don't know. Again, it's not my place to say. Next week, I'm going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. You can judge a book by its cover. You can judge a tree by its fruit. And if a person doesn't have fruit, what? I'm just throwing that out there. That's a little preaching right there. If you ain't got fruit, where's your fruit? What's a fruit? You got love in your life? Is there peace in you? Come on. Come on. That's the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God is active and dwells in you, the fruit will come. So backing up a little bit, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is active in our life. He comes, he indwells us, he becomes a part of us, and he seals us. And because of that, if you're not sealed, you're not saved. Bottom line. Okay, now I'm not saying there's anything you have to do outside of proclaiming with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Once that happens, I firmly believe that the Spirit of God comes, and now he is there. Now, this is the thing. There are those, and again, this is where you get into this gray area. There's people that believe you have to receive the Holy Spirit separately than the salvation moment. Anyone ever heard of that? You got to be baptized, or you got to be this, or you got to be that. Let me say this. In fact, one of the big things in the oneness theology is you have to be baptized separately in order to be saved. Unless you got baptized by the Holy Spirit and gone through that process, you're not saved. Can I say this? My belief, based on what I read, what I believe, Lord Jesus, I repent from my sins. I want to change my life. I want you to come into my life. I want to make you my Lord and Savior today. I proclaim that. I believe with all my heart you are the one and true living God, and I accept you today. Come in my life today as my Lord and my Savior. Then now it's done. Holy Spirit has come. I can tell you. He's come because he says here in Ephesians, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. It's done. Can we all receive that? Can we all accept it? Can I get an amen this morning? So we understand. So Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is active, a very big participant of the salvation process. Can I say that? It's using a medical term, process. Number three, turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 12. Holy Spirit, third point, bears witness of you and I to God, and he confirms our sonship unto the Father. He confirms our adoption. You know, when you adopt someone, there's papers, there's things that have to be done legally. And I promise you, there are things that have to be sealed, and they have to be go before the judge to be approved and what have you. And there has to be an agreement that this person or this child will become a part of my family. Holy Spirit is your attorney. He has said, when we get ready to read, you will see. Well, let me read this because I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He's not talking about immediately die. He's talking about eternity. There's death without Christ. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's a whole nother. Whew. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, he comes and he identifies within yourself that you are a child of God. Let me tell you something. If you ever try to do something and not have faith or belief that you can do those things? You ever gone into something and act like, you know, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure this is my place. I can tell you when it comes to like fixing a car, you know, for me, you know, I had to go outside and work on the car, change a tire. Well, I can change a tire. But if I had to go and work on a motor or something like that, you know, I can maybe go out there and act like it. You know? Yeah. I can act like it. I can tap on something. I can move. I can unscrew something, put it back right back. You know, you ever done that? You try to unscrew something, you screw it right back in. Oh, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I've never done that. Denise ain't in here, is she? No. So if you sit there, my point is this. My point is this. When you stop and think about it, I'd rather take it to an ASC certified mechanic that can work on it than to sit there and act like there's something I can do. See, I can't bear witness of my ability. If I don't know, I don't have the faith, okay, and understanding of who I am, then I'm going to be doing something that maybe I should not do. But see, if you get to a place and you understand, I am the Son of God. And the Spirit of God is in there saying, Jason, you are the Son of God. Pastor Rob, you are a son of God and you are a joint heir. You have all authority, all things given unto you because you are a son. And that will impress upon your spirit. And then there is a faith that will rise up. There was a trust in him. There will be a confidence that you can walk in. And then you can sit there and say, I am a son of God. See, because see, when we sit there and we proclaim with our mouths, Lord Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. The process of transformation begins as the Spirit comes in you. And as the Spirit comes in you, the first thing he wants to do is to enforce upon you, impress upon you, make you understand you are a son of God. You've been adopted into his family. You think about that for a moment. You're no longer a vagabond. You're no longer an orphan. You will have eternity in the presence of God. You will live in his presence for eternity. In fact, today you can walk in his authority. You can walk in his power. You can walk in his giftings. You can walk in his anointings. You can do all these things because you are a son or a daughter of God. That's where it begins. That's where the transformation begins. Because then you start to believe and faith rises up in you. And when the faith rises up in you, change can come. Power can come. Authority will come. Can I get an amen today? That is what happens. So when we receive Holy Spirit and we understand who He is, He will bear witness with our spirit. He will sit there and constantly remind you, you are a son of God. How many times you wake up and you feel like, I am not worth it. I'm no good. I'm stupid. Have you ever said that to yourself? That's a whole nother topic. You shouldn't speak those things over yourself. But the truth of the matter is you end up believing those things. The enemy comes in and say, you're not worthy. The enemy will come in and sit there and say, look what you've done. The enemy wants to come in and get you off track. He wants you to get you distracted. He wants you to understand God can't love you. Look at who you are. Look where you're at now. He's forsaken you. Look at where you are right now. Look what the struggle you're going through right now. Where's God in this? See, that's what the enemy wants to do. And then your spirit gets moved one way or the other. But see, this is the beauty of it. When you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is there. And as the enemy tries to speak, he will continually tell you and witness, you are a son of God. He loves you. He has died for you. He has covered you. He's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. That is the Holy Spirit. He is witnessing your adoption to His family. Can I get an amen this morning? I need a hallelujah today. Because I'm going to tell you right now, too many times we get into a rut where we sit there and believe the chirping. We believe the lies. And then when it comes time for truth, we don't want to hear Holy Spirit. That's too hard. That I don't want to do that. That takes me down a road I don't want to go. But the truth of the matter is you hear Holy Spirit. You trust Holy Spirit. You are a son. You are adopted. And you can walk in that. And by doing so, you are going to be set free. You're going to be healed. Things are going to change in your life. Too many times we sit there and we get, anybody been in a rut this week? A rut. You know, bad day. You get up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe your wife got up on the wrong side. I don't know. And then you got up on the wrong side. I have no idea. And then it affects you the rest of the day. I mean, I think of Pastor Rob over here yawning this morning. It's on tape now. Yeah, I'm boring him today. Hallelujah. No, but this is the truth. No. He's recovering from the lock-in. I'm not trying to embarrass him. But the truth is, he's tired. Okay? Let me ask you this. Well, there you go. And you didn't cut off a limb. You're doing good. This is the truth. When you're tired, how easily can Kimberly irritate you? How easily can your kids irritate you? Let me ask y'all, when you're tired, something happens. How easily is it for you? My whole point is this, get distracted. Because your emotions, the flesh gets excited. It starts taking the forefront. And what you end up doing is you start listening to your emotions instead of listening to that spirit that's sitting there going, you're a son. You're a son. You're adopted into the kingdom of God. You are a joint heir of Jesus. When you sit there and you sit there, or you're going to go, man, I'm tired. I can't believe Pastor Tom's going to make me sing this morning. I was up, I haven't slept, man, but 3 hours in the last 4 days. I haven't ate. Man, look at me. I'm losing weight. Whatever. But the truth of the matter is we end up being moved by our emotions. We get moved by the things we feel and see and things like that. When the whole time, the Spirit of God is standing there right next to your spirit going, He has His arm around you. He may even have you on His back carrying you and saying, I got you. You are a son. Do you understand what that means? We're going to talk about this next week, about being a son of God. What comes with that? My two girls carry my name. They're my daughters, okay? In essence, they're my son, okay? They're my family. They will forever carry my name. They forever will have my seal on them. And the things that I have, the things that they have access to everything that I have. Now, I have to govern those things. Hallelujah. They're not going to have keys to my checkbook. But the Father ain't going to give you the keys to his checkbook either. He's going to govern those things. But the beauty of it is when my girls, they need something. When my girls have trouble, their problems or something to that effect, I come. And if I have to help guide them and correct, I will. If I have to come and put my arm around them and hug them, I will. Those are things we in the natural can do. What do you think the Father does for you and I? The Father loves you immensely, unconditionally. He will do anything for you. In fact, he's already done everything for you. He has died for you and I. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he bears witness. And here we go. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our, the Spirit also helps us in our, for we do not know what he should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Spirit of God, as he stands there, he's encouraging you, he's blessing you, he's trying to help you going through whatever you're going through. He is now also interceding for you before the Father. In your weakness, he is there. In your suffering, he is there. In your time of trouble, he is there. And he is sitting there helping us in our weakness. It just confirms. So we have three parts. Number one, Holy Spirit is God. Number two, Holy Spirit is active participant in our lives, specifically in our salvation. Three, Holy Spirit bears witness of us and he confirms we are the Son of God. Sons and daughters of God. Amen. The last thing I want to touch on today is Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen on that? You sit there and you repent and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. It says right there. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. Does he sit there and say only white people will receive the Holy Spirit? Does he say only black people, Hispanic people, Asian people? Does he say all? He's sitting there talking about everyone. He's not sitting there going only the priests can receive. He's not sitting there saying only pastors can receive. He's not sitting there saying you got to walk with God for 4 years and be baptized and then you'll receive. He doesn't say that. He said once you repent, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? The gift of the Holy Spirit you are given. You are given the gift of Holy Spirit. God gives you something because have you ever given something from yourself as a gift to someone else that really cost you? You know what I mean? That really, you took a lot of time and effort. I know Bertina and Darren are not here, but a couple weeks ago we prayed for a couple, Amy and Will, the husband and wife that come to find out Will was a match for Amy, his wife, and was able to give her a kidney. You talking about giving of oneself to someone else? You know what I'm saying? This is what he's saying here. He is giving a part of himself to you and I as a gift to bless you and me. Holy Spirit is a gift to you and me for those that repent and accept. See, this is the thing I want to make very clear. All can receive Holy Spirit when you proclaim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is what I believe. I do not believe there's some other special ceremony or thing you have to do. Holy Spirit comes once you've repented and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You understand what I'm saying today? So when you sit here today, each and every one of you, Holy Spirit is now a part of you. He has entered you. It says here in First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, you don't have to turn it. It says, oh, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? Do you understand that the Holy Spirit has been put in you? You are his temple. The Spirit of God has placed himself in you. He is in you. He resides in you. The gift of Holy Spirit. Now, what is this gift that he has given us? What does this mean? In John chapter 14, turn there with me if you would. Is this a good word for you today? I hope it encourages you. If you do anything else, you walk out of here understanding Holy Spirit is in your life. He is an active participant in your life. God himself is in your life. He is dwelling in you. When you are laying in bed at late at night by yourself, you're going through a struggle, you're going through a hard time, you're having an argument, you're having this, you're having that. Holy Spirit is there. He is in you. John 14:15, it says here, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Turn over to go down a little bit further to verse 25. In John 14, starting at 25, it says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So in other words, this gift from God, this gift has a purpose. This gift came to help you. Other translations, it says advocate. Other translations say it's counselor. Other translations will say encourager. Whatever translation you want to use, but this Spirit of God came to help you in your walk in this world, in your walk with God. So this beautiful gift is an active participant, not just in your salvation, but in living life. Can I get an amen this morning? I got a blank look on a lot of people here. This is a gift from God that is an active participant to help you, to guide you, to lead you, to encourage you, to be an advocate for you. Now, one of the biggest things in order to be able to, and this is, I'm hoping to bring some clarity to some of us, when we understand that the Holy Spirit is a gift that communicates, the Holy Spirit is a gift that counsels and guides and leads, he has to communicate with you and I in order to do so. You see what I'm saying? If I want to sit there and lead Robert somewhere, the only way I'm going to be able to lead him somewhere is actually communicate with him. He can't read my mind. Can you? I don't know. No, he can't. All right. But he can. And so in order for him to go somewhere, in order for me to help him, in order for me to encourage him, to bless him, to take care of him, whatever it may be, I have to be able to communicate with him. This is where I believe a lot of believers have a hard time. Have you ever heard of believers, Christians, your brother and sisters in Christ say, I don't hear God? Maybe you're one of those people. I've never heard him. He doesn't speak to me. Anyone in here ever experienced that? You don't have to raise your hands. Let me say this. If you are one of those people, do not condemn yourself right now. Do not sit there and say, you know, I don't hear God. Because this is what this is what happens. When you sit there and you say, I don't hear God, the enemy is standing there going, see? See? You don't hear him. He ain't even talking to you. But the word says he's interceding for you. The word says he's standing there saying, you're a son. The word says all these things about what Holy Spirit is doing. But what ends up happening is because you feel that you don't tangibly hear God, that somehow you missed it. Somehow your salvation's in question. Somehow you're not holy. How about this? I'm not as mature as someone else. And what ends up happening is it will then hold you back, because what you end up believing is the lie instead of the truth. And when you start believing the lie, you start acting out the lie. You start walking out the lie. I don't hear God. Why to go to church? Oh, why do I need to read? Why do I need to pray? He doesn't talk to me. And next thing you know, a year will go by, and next thing you know, you'll stop coming to church. You'll stop fellowshipping with believers. You'll start doing other things. You'll start finding other things to be more fun. And all the enemy has done is he's just sat there and sold you a lie, saying you don't hear God because he doesn't talk to you. Let me tell you this today. Let me quote that lie. God talks to you. He communicates with you. Because Christ said, I sent him to help you. I sent him to advocate for you. I sent him to guide you, to lead you, and all those things. And if he's going to do those things, I promise you, Robert, he talks to you. And now you're probably sitting there going, well, how does he talk to me? Number one, everyone in here should have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can get one free online called the Bible app. The Bible app, B-I-B-L-E. You can get it for free. That's hard. Download it for free. If you got to pay for it, come see me. I'll give you the money. Out of my pocket, I'll help you. If you want a regular Bible, take one. We have a whole bunch of them. And if you're like, oh, it's not fancy enough for me, come see me. I'll buy you a Bible. The Bible speaks to you and me. Holy Spirit will speak to you and I through his word. Those of us that have read his word, have you not sat down as you read? You probably read this verse a million times before, but then today you read it and all of a sudden, boom, a new revelation hits you. Your new understanding comes. Guess what? Holy Spirit just spoke to you. God just said something to you that moment. The creator of all, the Alpha, the Omega, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, just spoke to you. It's better than the president speaking to you. Hallelujah. It's better than Prince Charles or one of those kings over there in England speaking to you. It's better than any of those things. God speaks. And through his word, he will speak to you and I. Too many times with the computers and the phones and all the things of this world, we get distracted from reading. I personally got some personal theories of the enemy. You know, the world belongs to the enemy. This is his domain. You don't think that, you know, and he is what they call the prince of the air. We hold a phone and guess what comes through the air? The signals. I think it's a spiritual war that goes on in the world, and we too many times as believers get distracted from all the things around us. And all he wants to do is get you a little bit off track. And so, you know, through the busyness of your day, business of work, busyness getting on Facebook and Instagram, some of y'all spend more time on those things than you do in the Word. Hallelujah. That's a preached word right there. You need to receive it. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you spend more time watching TV than reading the Word. Some of y'all spend more time doing other things than reading the Word. Now, am I saying it's wrong? No. You know, I spend more time working than reading the Word. I understand. I got to do what I got to do. But man, when you got a choice, you're at home and there's an opportunity to be in his word. Because if you're the one sitting there saying God doesn't speak, guess what? Read the word. He will speak to you in that moment. He will talk to you in that moment. And don't sit there and go, oh, okay, I'm done. You read two verses. You know those folks, they'll read two verses. Hey, you didn't say anything to me. You do it for about 3 days and it's over. No, sit and read. Have a plan. Have an approach. Have a way of doing it in his word. Secondly, God speaks to you through others. Do you believe that? He may speak to you through your wife or your husband. He may say something to you through your pastor. When you come here on a Sunday morning, I firmly believe many times that the things that you hear me preach, every person, if I went around here and took a survey, every person will have something very specific, hopefully, that you're hearing. And I believe that whatever you're hearing, that is what Holy Spirit wants you to grasp and to receive in order to help you in your walk. Okay? And it may be something very specific for you and be very different for someone else. God speaks to us through people. What we end up happening, well, number one, you have to understand the people you walk with. All right, now I'm about to step on some toes. If you hang out with a bunch of non-believing heathens, those are what's speaking into your life. Again, I'm not saying we can't have friends. I'm not sitting here saying that, but when you seek counsel, when you seek guidance, who are you receiving it from? You have to seek those that you trust that God has put in your life that are walking in the favor and the blessings of God, walking in the anointing, because God will speak to you through others. Okay? And in fact, sometimes he may even speak to you through a heathen. I know he spoke to me a couple times at work. He's, you know, I'm doing something, taking care of a patient, and I get a person coming, and this doctor, you know how doctors are. See? Are doctors a little on the arrogant side sometimes? Do they think they know everything? And through that, I have been instructed and taught, Holy Spirit quickly said, you need to be patient. You need to be kind. You need to be the love of God in their life. Come on now. Hallelujah. He'll speak to you through other people. Lastly, he speaks to you internally through revelation, through your consciousness, through discernment. Have you ever been somewhere and met somebody, you walk away going, something about that guy. I don't really trust him. Guess what? That's Holy Spirit going, hey. That's a little discerning going on. You ever met someone and you go, man, that guy, I really like that person. There's something about it. There's a spirit. You know, they could be the quietest person in the world, but you just know in your heart, this is a person I can trust. This is a person I can talk to. This is a person God has put in my life. God is speaking to you. He is confirming something in you. When you know right from wrong, people, you know, sociologists, psychiatrists and them, they will sit there and say, that's your whatever, psychological issues. I believe it's your spirit. You innately know right from wrong. And as you continue to walk things out and you read the word and that becomes a part of you, you start deciphering what God's will is for you. What his right and wrong is and not what the world's right and wrong is. Because the world will sell you abortions okay, but I can tell you, according to his word, it's not. It's a sin. Period. Period. Can I get an amen? So he will speak to you internally. And with that being said, if you are hearing by the Spirit, when you know, you know, you hear people say, I know that I know. That's the Spirit of God, man. And when you know that you know, and you start walking things out, there's some things that will all of a sudden pop up. And I call, and the word says, the fruit of the Spirit will start popping up. There's a peace that comes on you. There's an ability to suffer through whatever. There's an ability to love when you can't love. There's things that will happen in you that the fruit will then start presenting itself when you're obedient to the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is, if you're walking with the Spirit, you can't help, but you're sowing the seeds that now will bring the fruit in your life. And it will bring those things in you, and it will help you work through anything you're going through, help you in everything that, see, the Spirit of God, man, he wants to see you succeed. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. He does not want you to sit there and walk around struggling and having difficulty. At the same time, he wants to use you to be his glory on this earth. What blessing, what glory does it bring God if you sit there and say, I'm saved, I hear by the Spirit, but then you walk around and you're grumpy all the time? Anybody in here like that? You walk around with a frown on your face. You're negative. You're pessimistic. Let me tell you, that's not God. God is a God of joy. He is a God of love and peace and want to uplift and be encouraging. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Some of us can deal with that a little bit. Goodness, faithfulness. How about this? Gentleness. Gentle. Be gentle. And self-control. That must be Holy Spirit back there. Yeah, come on. And self-control. See, the thing is that we all want to hear the great parts of God, and many times as believers, we want to hear the easy things of God. We want to hear those things that come easy and what have you. I can tell you right now, when I sit there and read, those are wonderful. I love, oh yes, I want more of this. I want more love, joy, and peace. But then when he sits there and he's trying to develop that fruit of self-control. Oh, that I don't want that. No. I'm acting like a knucklehead and I don't care. Just saying. That is not of God. That's not a fruit of him. Now, am I saying you can't be firm? You can't? No, I'm not putting people in a box. I realize we all live life and there's things that go on and there's times you got to be firm. You got to be straightforward and those types of things. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a way to deliver those things in the love of God in a way that can impact someone and be his glory than a way of going and destroying someone through your words and actions. Too many times we as believers, we do those things to one another. But I'm going to tell you, God wants more. I love this quote from Billy Graham. It says here, it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. Period. Think about that. Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. You focus on those things. If you get, you walk out of here today, you realize that Holy Spirit, you convict me, you guide me, and I will focus on what I need to do, and that's the love. Hallelujah. See, today was a teaching. I'm hoping that you get out of today what my goal was, and that's to get a really good understanding of that. There, Holy Spirit is real. He's not a mystic thing. That he is God. He is part of God. He is God. And he has been sent for you and me, okay, to be an active participant to seal our salvation. He's an active participant in our lives to help us in the walk in our lives. He's a gift that God has given us. And he communicates with you and me in all things. If you seek him, he will communicate with you. If you listen, he will communicate with you. He will take care of you. Holy Spirit is active. Now, next week, we're going to come back. We're going to delve into something that now I believe is a little bit. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And more specifically, we're going to talk about tongues and talk about that gifting and what does that mean. Because I believe us as a body, we have to understand the principles of those things. To me, I can get up here and I can preach, I can shout, I can yell, I can point, I can do all these things. But you're going to walk out of here and all you're going to remember is me being excited about something and you not quite understanding or grasping the meat of what God is trying to say. You know what I mean? I want you to have a tangible understanding of what God's trying to say to us. Because when you do understanding something, you can then be empowered to use it. And when you're empowered to use it, you can bring things to his glory. You can be used by him. You can be doing his purpose and his will in all things. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm gonna say I was saving this for next week, but I felt it was pretty powerful, and I just want to share this today. It's by Jerry Bridges, and it talks about self-control. It says self-control is not control by oneself through one's own willpower. See, that's the thing. What we sit there and think about it, we got to control by our own willpower, but rather control of oneself through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's self-control, allowing Holy Spirit to control you and guide you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is there any questions today? Thoughts? See, like I said, this is more of a teaching, I felt. More about laying a foundation today. And I want to make sure when you walk out of here today that there's no questions. That you understand where I came from, and hopefully you understand my heart, and hopefully you understand the position of this church, this house, where we stand. That Holy Spirit is an active participant in our lives. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I honor you this day. I bless you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Spirit that you have sent to us. Oh, Father, you are so good to us. You are so good. You love us so much that you have given a part of yourself to us to help us. Each and every one of us, not one greater than another, but to guide us and lead us in all things. Thank you. And Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me, guide me, speak to me. I want you to also do that for every person in this room. Touch the lives of people. If they haven't experienced you in a real, tangible way, make yourself known to them today. May they walk out of here today knowing they have a true, valued, deep relationship with you. That they know you reside in them, that you're walking with them. You never leave them. You're always there. May their faith rise up in you. I speak faith over the people. I speak faith over every person in here in the name of Jesus. I pray that we will trust you. Trust you. Trust you with our lives. I speak that over everyone in the name of Jesus. I thank you again for this amazing opportunity to bring your word and for us as a body to come together and to share, to love on each other, fellowship, and to be ministered to by you. We give you all the praise and glory, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.